What is happening, crew? TGIF, and welcome to Firearm Friday. Going to be talking here shortly with Steve from Medieval Industries. So before we quite get to that point, I will, of course, throw out a link so that you guys can follow along out there. We are live on the YouTubes, of course, simulcast over on gunchannels.com. Looks like Dog Body, Gizzard, Rick, Einstein, all hanging out over that way. And let me grab that link for Gun Channels and put it in on the YouTube side, because if you're not familiar with Gun Channels, well, you certainly should be. And as far as the YouTube side goes, yep, looks like notifications are going out. The room is starting to stack up. Hello, everybody. Let's see. Let's grab that link. I'll go ahead and grab it here for Medieval Industries. And then if you're in replay, of course, you can catch that too. Medieval is not spelled like it would be if we're talking about knights and kings and queens and dragons and that sort of thing. It's actually M-I-D dash. Evil is in evil. E-V-I-L. M-I-D dash E-V-I-L. So go ahead and drop that link out there too. There you go. If anybody wants to follow along, remember that we will be taking questions. So get those out in the chat there, and we'll be sure to forward those along to Steve here as we're talking to him. As far as getting your questions seen, a lot of times that's the kicker when the chat is bumping out there. So remember that you can tag myself, Mike, or Ghost. Just use the little at symbol. Throw in the username or the screen name behind that at symbol, and that will tag one of us, and we'll more easily be able to pick up your question there. Let me get my little notepad set up on my end so that if we have those questions coming in, we can certainly get them answered. Yeah, we have Mike and Ghost both here to sort of help us out again tonight, so let's welcome them. How are you, Mike?
I'm doing great. Another great day in South Carolina, and looking forward to some interesting conversation.
All right. And Ghost, what's up, bud?
Oh, not much. Watching it rain. So needed the rain, so I'm happy. But looking forward to a great discussion.
Yeah. Now, you talked to G. He was at the Gun Rights Policy Conference earlier, correct?
Yeah, today was the social media portion of the conference. Actually starts tomorrow, but okay. Today was a social media, and they were not streaming it live. So G went ahead and streamed it live, and he and I hung out for a while, listened to it.
Right. I got you. Cool. All righty. Before we get started, one last thing here is to throw in my link, which is clovertech.com. Be sure to jump over there. The most probably important thing right now is the great cap giveaway going on. We'll give away 3 caps come Monday night on the MOA Monday show. And all you have to do to be eligible to win one of those is go to clovertech.com, scroll to the bottom, and sign up for that email list. So simple enough. I think we've amped enough here. So let's jump in with Steve from Medieval Industries. How are you this evening, Steve?
I think he's muted.
He either got muted or he... Are you muted, Steve?
He's not showing up as muted.
Uh-oh. He may be having a connection issue. Okay. Well... We were chatting up a storm in pre-chat, so technical difficulties. Everybody stand by. Did you hit the mute button?
Hey, Chris.
Steve? Yeah, there you are. We got you now. Are you there? Check that mute button, Steve. Make sure you hadn't muted your mic. That was him, right, guys?
Yes.
I think so. Yeah, it was. Yeah.
Good.
Well, you
Just
know,
so you
it's
know, I'm
Friday,
getting a little
so
bit of
something has to
some
happen.
lag and a little static. So it's coming through, but sort of slow.
Oh, okay. Well, there we go. We can maybe we can manage. As long as you're talking, it sounds okay. So maybe we're just dealing with a delay of some kind on your end.
Can
Nate,
you hear me?
I can hear you.
I don't think he's hearing us, though.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like, is that he can't
No,
hear us.
I'm unmuted. We're just having a hard time hearing you now with all. Yeah, it was just perfect earlier. Now it's up.
Right.
I
How's
don't
that?
want him to, but maybe he needs to turn his camera off to for bandwidth
Uh-oh.
until if he's not talking. I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, you may try to disable your camera and see if it disable your camera for just a second, Steve, and see if that helps.
Okay. Just did.
All right. That actually sounds better on this end. Did it help with the delay any? Apparently not. Okay. Well,
I guess not.
YouTube is going to decide to be stupid now. And he dropped. He's got a bad connection.
He's had a bad connection. He'll get back in.
So
Yeah, that'll correct everything.
let's try to get Steve. We'll try to get Steve back in. Everybody stand by. Yeah, he's
Stand
got a
by for the
bad.
standby. Stand by.
Stand by for the standby. Let me get over to Google real quick. The Google voice. Let him know.
Hey guys.
All
Back
right,
back.
he's
There we go.
back in. Yeah, appears to be. Can you hear
Yeah, I
us?
think so.
Okay, can you hear us fine now?
Yeah, I got rid of the camera and had to go out and come back in again.
Okay. Yeah, well, that sounds.
Otherwise, we're just talking, but all right, let's
Well,
go for
we
now.
don't have to. I mean, this will go to podcast form and be all audio anyway, but yeah, when we get into the products, you can, of course, I guess you could turn the camera on temporarily when we get to that point if you
We'll
want
do
to.
that.
Yeah,
Sure.
that'll be fine. But let's start out. Where are you guys located out of, Steve?
Good old gun friendly California. We're in San
Oh,
Diego.
well, that's certainly got to be interesting.
So, yeah, let's go. Let's hear all the wisecracks because I know there's plenty of them out there, and then we can get to the conversation, I guess.
Right. Well, we've got quite a few that follow. I know for a fact out there in the chats that are from the great state of California, so to speak. So, yeah, that's a good thing for them. It's good, I guess, to have industry there. And a lot of the guys that stay there, they feel that they need to stay there to at least try to continue to keep up some kind of fight. So, yeah, I certainly don't have a problem as far as obstacles with the specific parts and components that you make. Is it fairly difficult to stay in California? You hear a lot of companies that leave these states that enact weird laws and regulations and stuff like that. Has anything out there they've passed changed the way that you have to do business?
Well, the way I started this was years back. Well, 11 years ago, I was out at the airsoft store goofing around. Me and my buddies were all into that stuff, and I went into a gun store that was literally like four windows down. So I walk in the store, looking around, and I'm looking at the SIG 556 Halo, and the guy, sales guy, hands it to me and goes, "Here, check it out." And I'm looking at it, and I'm like, "Cool." He goes, "Yeah, it's only, however much money." I'm like, "I can buy this, because I knew all the crazy laws already in California. I grew up shooting and stuff with my uncle, but I just wasn't really into it at that point." And so once I realized I could get it, my wife asked me what I wanted for my birthday, and I said, "That's what I want." So she got me that rifle, and then we went out shooting it. And at the time, the laws that were in place were the bullet button, which replaced the magazine release, and really what the bullet button was to make it a non-detachable magazine. So we went to the range, shot. It drove me nuts because you literally had to stick the tip of a bullet into the little hole, the little cavity, to actually push out mag catch, Paulo. And so my very first invention was the mag magnet. And I, let me put the camera on. If I, hopefully that works for a sec. The mag magnet's right here. You guys see that? So this is a featureless rifle in California. So now I can leave the bull button on, but there's the mag magnet. It's basically, now they're aluminum with a really big neodymium magnet in there. You just set it on there. That thing stays on so well that you don't really have to worry about it falling off. And then there you go. That's how you release your magazine.
Oh, okay.
Here in California. So that was my first invention. So truth is, we actually kind of were the first ones to go ahead and do something like this. I got patents and all that on it and put them out on the market. And we caught our fair share of grief too, because, you know, it's not always that the 2A guys, they're always united in what it is they're doing. So, but we went ahead and did it, and, you know, we're glad we did, because it actually, more people, especially from other states, had even heard about it. And they're like, good for you. Like, someone needed to do that, because we all know some of these laws are so ridiculous that, you know.
Right.
Got to do something.
Yeah, I mean, they don't make a lot of sense in the grand scheme of things a lot of times.
Right.
Certainly. So before you got into, so I guess that was your first product, actually, right?
Yeah, Mag Magnet. Yes.
Now before you got into that, did you have engineering, machining experience, or was that kind of your first foray into the firearm parts industry?
Yeah, that was it. I mean, I was a carpenter.
Oh, okay.
I used to, you know, be a general contractor, and, you know, that's how I made my way. I was, you know, started off as a journeyman carpenter, did that for years, then started doing full remodels when the economy started tanking out. And it was never anything like that. I never even got out of college. I mean, I went for, I think, 3 months, and that was it for me, and I went to work.
Well, and, you know, well, with the carpentry, though, I mean, don't knock the skills there, because,
oh, yeah, no, absolutely.
You know, you're still dealing with design and measurements and a lot of things. So I can certainly see how a lot of that would translate over when you start trying to build, build parts and products and things like that.
Well, you know, when it's that type of work, I was lucky. I mean, lucky and unlucky, but in a good way. I worked for my brother, and he taught me, and his motto was, I'm going to tell you once, and the second time I'm going to yell at you, so you better pay attention.
Right.
And there were times we were throwing wood at each other, but, you know, he taught me a lot real fast, and I was lucky. So, but one of the things you learn in carpentry, I mean, that's why in any trade, you know, they start you off at the bottom. I mean, you're sweeping, you know, you're picking up trash, you're doing all the stuff nobody wants to do. And then with us, we'd start scrapping out wood and pulling braces and pulling nails, and then you graduate to doing hardware, and all these things really teach you to, like, you have to look at stuff and figure it out. So, you know, that's was me. Like, I've always been that way. When I was a little kid, I had an idea, and I told my grandfather about it, and he thought I was nuts. I was only 10 years old. And about 2 years later, I see this idea on TV. It was like on an infomercial way. And I'm 51 years old, so this was a long time ago, and I actually saw it on TV. So I'm like, holy crap, I totally thought of that idea. And, you know, so it's like, I've kind of always had that sort of mind, where it's not like I wouldn't say I'm smart in any way, but I'm a problem solver. I can look at something and think, oh, this would be easier. And that's all it is. That's where the mag magnet came from. You know, what can I do that's easier? And that's what I did.
Right. Now, we got to, of course, we've got plenty of time here, but what I do want to touch on, at least a little bit on all of the products that you have out there and you have available. Let me grab, while I'm talking here, grab that link one more time for everybody, because they may want to follow on and ask some questions as well.
Yeah.
But, you know, like I said, I do want to hit on those products and then maybe, you know, future things, you know, coming down the pipeline. But as far as the takeoff item, the one that Medieval Industries in your mind is known for, which one would that be?
That's the 360 VFG. So, every once in a while, I'm going to, you know, get screen, get rid of the camera for a sec. I'll bring it back on now. Sure. Just you know, we don't get that lag. It seemed to be acting up. So
yeah, we seem to be fine now.
Yeah, seems like it's working good. So this guy here, this is my Gen 1 360 VFG. So this was the first one we came out with about 2.5 years ago. Yeah, this is the M-Lock version of it. It's all aluminum, but had a steel ball, weighed 9.4 ounces. And so, you know, you could loosen it, and it really only takes like a, you know, a little quarter turn, mm-hmm. adjust it anywhere you wanted it, turn right around, lock it back into place, and there you were. So it did well. We sold, you know, we made 1,000 the first time around, and we got rid of those pretty quick. I mean, it took me a little over a year, but brand new product, brand new concept. And then the other thing we knew was it was too heavy. So we figured out ways to get it lightened up, and we've got it from 9.4 ounces down to as low as 4.4 ounces on the M-Lock or the Keymod stubby. And so this is what the grip looks like now. So what I have here is I have a little adapter thing on it, but so this is how the grip works. This is actually an airsoft gun. I've got other rifles here, but just it's a little shorter and easier to handle. But here's the grip. Angle it whichever way you want. There it is. And when this grip locks into place, it's locked. I mean, you can slam stuff with it. I've gotten it where I've actually like beaten, you know, an 80% or like, you know, not a real rifle, but all barreled up and built. Beat it into the, you know, the tip of the barrel, the muzzle into the 6x6 post. I mean, we've abused the heck out of these things, and they hold up well. So that's where we got started, right there with the 360 VFG.
Right. Well, I mean, the versatility, the options, you know, with the various angles and everything you can do on that. I mean, that's what struck me as pretty cool. Yeah. Because I mean, most you've got vertical grip, right, on everything. It's just vertical. It's vertical. And you know, when you're out there with that off hand, you know, it's not vertical. I mean, that's just not really a natural place a lot of times. That's kind of where the C-clamp style came from, is because, you know, holding underneath the barrel, or holding, you know, a vertical grip, just is less natural placement for your hand. So
right. And that's actually exactly why I came out over, you know, when I first got into it. Now all of a sudden I'm selling magnetic bullet button tools, and now I have to have ARs, which was kind of fun, because then I got to buy some and
right,
take them to the show. You know, I got to have all kinds of cool toys, and the wife was cool with it too. So that's what we started doing. And then I started, you know, I like that grip. I try every grip out there. I got a box back there. There's probably like about 13 different grips. Right. You know, to the angled foregrips, to the other ones, and the guys that will, the supposedly adjustable ones, barely. Oh, you unscrew it, you can make it shorter. That's not what I consider adjustable, not when you can do something like this. And I mean, you know, when I first thought of it, I'm like, this thing, it's got to be better, because the way, you know, it's like I tell them, you don't, you know, imagine holding something like this. I mean, that's not natural force, but as soon as you come out into here, you're able to get this, pull it into you, you get more leverage. A lot of the guys, I've got, you know, a couple buddies that are ex-team guys, and like when we're wearing all of our stuff, you're not going like this, you're coming in like this. And in fact, one of them, when I showed it to him, he said that he actually, when he was on the team, he was on for 13 years, he got an old M60 grip and glued and epoxied it and drilled it at an angle and put it on his MP5, and when I showed him this, he's like, holy crap, dude. He goes, I ran mine the whole time I was on it. All my team buddies were like, where'd you get that? And he tells him, well, I made it. And he goes, and that was it. Nobody ever said anything about it again. He goes, so for me to see you actually do it, that's pretty cool. He goes, I think you're on to something really good here. So,
mm-hmm. Right.
You know, I mean, and one last thing, I was, you know, when you're watching the news and you're watching the guys, you know, walking around and, you know, police or whatever, and they come down with a gun like this, that's a very awkward look anyways.
Oh, yeah.
You know, as soon as you come down to here now, you're actually, you can hold it, and you can like kind of rest it in there, and then when you go to the ready, it's simple. So, yeah, that's what made me come up with this grip.
on you talked a little bit about having to kind of go back to the drawing board with it on the weight. Did you go through with the design of it? Did you go through more versions than that as you went along before you had something to you were confident enough to take to market, you know, with?
Oh yeah, no, we I think I have 22 prototypes.
Okay, wow.
Where the very first ones, I wish I'd have, you know, thought about it more. I'd have broke out a couple of my prototypes. I think they're around here somewhere. But got the first one that's plastic, and then it went to aluminum, which is a 3D print. And we knew concept. Mm-hmm. And in the end, it was getting it to the final lock. Are you guys hearing me okay?
Oh, yeah, you're good.
Okay, good. And so, you know, we just kept going. And the one machinist I met here literally lives 10 minutes from me. And I'd met him a few years before I started all this with a TX3. This is the TX3, the little, you know, MP plate with mm-hmm. the ambidextrous quick detach. And at the time, he was more of a mill, but a lathe kind of guy, and wasn't doing a whole lot of mill, so he couldn't help me. But, I mean, I just remember the guy being, like, one of the nicest guys I ever met. I mean, we just hang out and talk for a while. So when this came up, I took it to him, and it had just so happened that his company had worked with another company that designed years back the old ball and the ball and hose thing for gas hoses at the, you know, the gas tanks. We'd fill up our gases, you know, at the gas station and the gas pumps, I should say. And so when we started working on this, he already kind of had a little bit of an idea on it. And so we just kept going to figure out what size ball we could use. How big did the actual piece inside that creates the friction need to be and all that. And we just kept going and doing it and until finally we got the right combination, and then we knew what we had. And then the Gen 1 came out, and I probably jumped the gun because we even had an end cap on the Gen 1, but we, you know, kind of me, once in a while I jumped the gun a little. I started a little too soon, and we went into production anyways.
Right.
And then later on I was able to modify some of them and, you know, redo it and put a cap on it and all that. And so then one day we're like, you know what? We got to get the weight down. Well, that was the one thing everybody was like, dude, it's heavy. But yeah. I'd have a lot of guys say, yeah, even with the weight, the actual benefit you get from it, you really don't notice it. But, you know, we still wanted to lighten it up. And yeah. So what we did is we calced out the one day we're just sitting there. We calced out the difference between 70-75 aluminum for the ball and what the difference was in the strength of the steel. Literally, there was only like 600 pounds strength difference in the two. So we looked at it, we're like, well, my gosh, well, the aluminum ones, in a way, it's almost stronger when you consider how light it is. Mm-hmm. And so we went ahead and we tested it, and it worked perfect. And that took a ton of weight off. And then we got another piece. We kind of like hollowed it out, lightened it up, and it just really came together perfectly. And so we got lucky. It worked out easy.
Yeah. That's sort of impressive in my mind with, you know, going through that many different variations, because what that tells me, there's a lot of people that they have an idea, they build a prototype, and then they take it to market, you know, right? Yeah. They don't go through the process a lot. So it's really impressive to see somebody that goes through that many stages and everything. Now, a question I had, and then we'll bring Mike and Ghost in here and see if they've got anything. Remember, if you're out there in the chat, throw those questions in here. We'll be happy to answer them. But a question I had is, a lot of the grips that you see are Picatinny only. So if you've got key mod or M-lock, then you got to get an adapter and then put that grip on there. And I'm sure that, you know, I don't know, maybe it's kind of a pain having to produce all different three, but what was the thought process in going that route instead of just staying Picatinny and providing people with an adapter, or them having to get their own adapter? Was weight part of that issue, or the soundness, I guess, of the structure, you know, of the grip, or what was the thinking there?
I just basically kind of looked at it and thought, you know, if we're going to make a grip that, you know, is this well made, this nice, to me, I knew there were going to be guys that were M-lock, guys that were key mod that were like, I don't want to add the Picatinny piece to mine. I mean, part of the reason I got it is it's so clean and simple.
Right.
So it really wasn't that much of a leap to go ahead and make the M-Lock and the key mod bases. They're actually simpler. They're way easier than the Picatinny one. We sell way more Picatinny than the other two. The next in line would be M-Lock, and then key mod, you know, I think key mod's just not selling near as much as anything else. So
right. Yeah. And that was going to be my follow-up was, which one do you sell the most? I figured it was probably Picatinny. Ghost, I'll let you jump in if you have any questions.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, your grip can be used for a lot of different platforms, but initially, was your design for an AR platform, or was it for something that was more long range? I mean, what was the original platform that you had in mind when you designed it?
So it's funny you say that. I literally was just going to be like 5.56, you know, AR-15s, any tactical style rifle, right? And so, you know, I came up with it, got it, and that was pretty much my main focus. And then one day I had a friend of mine call me. He's a friend now, but at the time I didn't know him. He was just a customer of mine, just, you know, through my other company, the Mag Magnets. And so he calls me up and he goes, hey, he goes, have you ever tried that on a KSG or a DP-12? And I didn't even know what a DP-12 was. And so I'm like, no. And he goes, you know what? He goes, I've got both. And where are you at? I'm in San Diego. He goes, I'm only an hour and 15 minutes away from you. He goes, if you want to meet up this week, I'll bring them down. Let's check it out. Let's see what this thing looks like on there. So we brought them down and we got the grips and we threw it on. As soon as we threw it on the KSG, we were just like, whoa, hold on a minute. He's like, dude, this is a game changer on the KSG. Any of the pump action shotguns, actually, you know. So we went with the KSG and then we got it on the DP-12. And then the funny thing is I've actually redesigned the, let me just hold on one sec. I'll show you something. So my initial design on the Picatinny grip was without the Picatinny teeth in there, right? So what we were doing is we were just using the screw to go all the way through and come through this end, and that's where it tightened up with our little plate that mounted on there, right? But the problem was once we got on a KSG and a DP-12, by the time you were pulling it, you know, pumping the shotgun and getting recoil, it moved a tiny bit, and I was like, holy crap. And I already had 600 of the Picatinny bases made. So I'm like, you know what? Back to the drawing board again, because I'm like, there's no way I can sell this grip if it moves. We can't. You know, in fact, right, one of the first guys I had helping me work on it had it set up where, you know, we were supposed to get it designed to the point where it was turn and twist and lock, and that's it. Like, it's locked in place. And he gets it to the point where he spent a little bit of time on it with prototyping. And then he goes, well, all you got to do is put a wrench on. I'm like, yeah, you know what, dude, I could go to market with that, but I'm not going to, because that's not what we want. We want something that's on the fly, twist and adjust and lock into place. So we went back, we changed to four lugs originally. And then the first run of those worked out pretty good. But what we found was for some of the lower quality Picatinny rails out there, our tolerances were good for some of the higher quality stuff, right? So we'd throw it on and it would fit the good stuff. And then we'd have and it wasn't all the time. Once in a while, we'd have a guy call and say, hey, you know what? It doesn't fit. It won't work. So we're like, all right, look, you know, and what we did is they either filed them a little or I just said, hang tight, we're making new ones. So we made another one. I got rid of one of the teeth for some of those little like short ladder, you know, Picatinny ladders they have. Mm-hmm. And then we shrunk it up and we made the adjustment. Then what we did is we made sure, like, I had literally a handguard. I forget. I actually had one of my first customers that we went to the gun show brought it to me a couple days later because it didn't fit. So I ended up buying him a new handguard to fit his rifle to make sure my grip fit his rifle, right? But I knew then, but it was, and I won't bring up the manufacturer. It's a pretty well-known manufacturer. You could look at the Picatinny and you could see it literally had a curve in it. And I was like, whoa. And then if you really looked at it, it didn't take long to notice that some of the Picatinny teeth in there, some were wider than the others. And I'm like, wow, no wonder. So the last bit, this third one we made, fits everything, but it fits well and tight and locks on good. But, you know, the whole idea was I didn't want anyone to come back and say, oh, they don't make, because the first thing they're going to say is that I didn't make my grip right, you know? So,
right. Yeah. Now we've got a few things out there so far from the chat, looks like here. Yeah. Unknown user out there. I think more of a statement is what he's making here, but he's talking about the larger grip being good for potentially for controlling, handling recoil, he says, on potentially a larger caliber SBR rifles and things like that. So I'm sure I've looked at your Instagram. It looks like a lot of you got a lot of people that use them. They, you know, they post their pictures and stuff like that. And I do see a lot of SBRs over there. So that does seem to be a popular accessory, seems like, for the folks that have those. And then Andrew out there is throwing out of questions. He's asking, you know, can you put that on a pistol without a stamp? And I'm no is he said guessing no. And yeah, the answer to that is no.
Yeah, we had hoped that, you know, I mean, I've met a lot of guys in this industry, you know, writers, and everybody knows somebody. And one of the guys I was in contact with was, he actually does expert witnessing for the, for the whole, what is it, the NFA Act. And so this guy knows it. So I called him up one day and, you know, we went through it all and he goes, nah, he goes, you know, I see where you would think it might. He goes, but trust me, it's really such a poorly, vaguely written law.
Yes.
That it almost gives it way more far reaching ability than if it were more specific. And he goes, and you would think it would. He goes, but nah, wouldn't work.
Yeah.
You know, I was like, wow, if we could get this thing on pistols, it would be game on. You know, everybody would be like, I gotta have it.
And you know, that's you know, another thing we started out, we were talking about silly regulations and stuff, and that's another one that's silly. I mean, it makes it no more dangerous or deadly, right? Because it's got a grip on it. Come on, you know, or what angle the grip's at, honestly. Yeah. You know, what difference does that make? We'll bring Mike in. Do you have anything, Mike?
Yeah. First of all, like, I'm not a big fan of the foregrip like that. How you got it going straight down. But have you ever thought of a foregrip at an angle? Whereas, like, all the ones that I've came across was either too big or not small enough, because I broke both my hands before and I have arthritis in my left hand real bad. So by me grabbing the front of the rifle, sometimes it can be a challenge for me.
So see this, Mike? So see the grip at the angle it's at now? A lot of times guys like you, this is what they want, because you can get it out in front of you, you know. You know, if you've shot an M4 AR full auto, it tends to want to rise up at an angle. So you're able to get this thing any way you want it. I mean, you could even mount it off the side of the rifle and hold it off here straight down. I mean, but it gives you every angle you're looking for. See, there's a straight up and down. But, you know, the reason I came up with it is because that didn't feel right to me. This felt better to me. So, see, it does. It's fully adjustable any angle. And, for example, this is the stubby version, which is actually, there's no end cap on this. It's about 3/8 of an inch longer than the stubby. And, of course, everyone asked for the stubby after I made the standard, so we made the stubby. But the truth is, more guys are into the standard length of it because it's really not that long. And then when you put the angle onto it, it just gives you more surface area. And, you know, again, give the people what they want. You give them what they want, and then they end up buying the stubby like I thought they would. So it's okay. And, you know, the standard or the stubby feels good in my hand. But when you get a guy with a really big paw, they've got to have the standard length. It's just, you know, it's because it's not that long.
Right. Yeah, I can imagine. Dude, what's the weight difference between the stubby and the standard? Can't be much.
3/8 of an inch. Yeah. I couldn't go too small because the way you're going to lock it is just the lower section, right? Mm-hmm. So you just twist in this section. You only need a little twist. But if you went too short, you were putting too much Holstein and Titan are pretty good. If you didn't have enough meat there, you'd be putting an awful lot of pressure on a couple of fingers, and you didn't want that. We couldn't go too small.
Right. You know? Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. So no, no midget hand versions, unfortunately.
You know, but you know what though? I mean, we, like I said, I mean, once you feel it, you're kind of like, yeah, but I don't really see why you'd ever want to go shorter than that, you know?
Right.
You know, so.
Yeah. I agree. Armored Nax is out there dropping the $2 super chat. So thanks for doing what you do, brother. So thank you, sir, for that. Appreciate it. I don't see any, I don't see any grip questions. It doesn't look like, Dead Horse out there is on the gun. We're not going to talk any more about putting grips on pistols, regardless of barrel length and stuff like that. That's not the conversation tonight. We're not discussing regulations and things like that, especially not that one. So moving on, let's go to a couple of, I guess you want to move into the tripod. I mean, that's a new thing and utilizes this grip actually. So.
Yeah. Well, let me show you real quick where I've got this in my hand. So what I feel like is most unique about the grip, number one, is the ability to angle it anywhere, right? And there goes my battery. It says it's low.
Uh-oh.
See this little side plate, Picatinny side plate that we have on the side? Can you see that?
Yes.
Okay. What I'm selling is a retrofit kit. We should have them out within the next week or so. You just undo the screws in the grip. Put longer screws that give you a couple spacers and the new Picatinny piece. You just add it to it and boom, just like that, you're able to have a flashlight right there.
There you go. Yeah, that's handy.
So, you know, here you go. Here's your flashlight. And yeah, you're it's not right there, which is pretty cool. And the fact that it's on the Picatinny, it's actually ambidextrous, so you can spin it for a left handy too. So,
oh, okay.
That right. Way, you know, the guy who's got a Picatinny flashlight one already out there, I prefer the rear end button to release it. But that's the next thing we're coming out with. And then this guy here, sniper setup rifle, but it's just I'm getting it set up. This one here is the quick detach tripod. So this is the tripod we just released.
I had to hold it up a little bit there, Steve, or something.
That.
Yeah, it's better. Okay. Give everybody a good view of it.
So it's capable of a few different lengths. Okay. Right there. So it's got three leg heights you can actually put it on, okay? You just push one of these buttons here. Come in and then you bring it back out. So I mean the ability to adjust this thing right now on this setup is pretty cool. I mean, you know, you could come in at an angle, put it on something. It's got the little locking lug, you know, little knob here. So this guy here is how you can lock the ball into position, right? So you just kind of come in with this, set it up where you want to go. You know, I'm aiming it, and then you just adjust where you want it. It locks the ball in here, so you're not getting any more movement from here up. It's just stable. And then there you go. There's your prop. I mean, it's adjustable in so many ways. If you want to switch it, you just disconnect it right like that. So this is going to be the actual.
Oh, wow.
We're going to do this with direct connect on this guy. So I'll sell this with the direct connect adapters, which will be Keymod, M-Lock, and Picatinny, okay? And then the other one's going to come like this. It's kind of opposite of what you'd expect, but this is...
Yeah, there you go.
My 308 bolt action. And so now with this, you're able to still... Can you see the adjustment I'm able to give you?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so you're able to adjust all this way and still lock it into place. So if you're, you know, shouldering it, you're pretty much able to kind of stabilize yourself where you want to be. Okay. The other thing you got is you got our ability to quick detach again, which would take you to an actual grip, which, you know, you can go from, you know, tripod to grip, okay, and then back on. So you can also articulate the grip to give you an angle too. So you can come off this way, sort of sideways, loosen the grip, come in, lock it in. You're actually able to create a different position off to the side. And I mean, the adjustability on this thing seems to be almost limitless.
Right. Yeah.
So, you know.
Yeah. It sort of gives you the angle of the grip, but then with a way to potentially stabilize the rifle better as well. So, for that right there, particularly with that bolt rifle, there could actually be some hunting application or something with that even.
Yeah. In fact, we've got a monopod that I tested out the other day. I just need to put a heavier piece of metal for the part that threads in off the monopod.
Mm-hmm.
I've never shot a rifle off of just a monopod post, but went to the range and I just threw off a bunch of rounds with this, and it was really pretty cool. Because once you get it locked in, you know, you're stable. You're only trying to control your left to right. You know, yeah, you got to worry about the up and down, but you lock it in and then you're able to actually grab that grip and pull it in. And that's what some of the snipers from that, Mike, we were talking about the Snipers Unknown Challenge, Phoenix Strategies, Sean Beach, he had said that. He goes, dude, these guys were figuring out ways with a bipod, and then they'd have the grip mounted somewhere back a little more on their rifle, and we're using it to barricade. I've got this T&E report from them that it's just like, wow, they were able to do so many things. And they said, you know what? This thing's cool. We can't wait to test it more. So, and they're waiting to see the tripod because they're like, wait, if we can actually put a tripod on this thing, that's a quick detach. They were like, wow, we can't wait to see that. So that'll be in 2 weeks, Mike. If you can get out there and see that, at least go check it out. You'd be welcome, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
And they'll probably even let you shoot. They're going to have some special rifle out there where they're going to actually, you know, the competitors get to shoot it. And I'm sure some of the, you know, guys that are there to watch the event get to shoot it too.
Now, Buck out there, he is asking, and I'm not real sure what he's meaning by this, but he says, can you leave it loose and still shoot? Well, I guess he's asking, does it have to be locked down, or can you leave it to where it does have movement?
Yeah, right. No, I mean, you can. I mean, it's something that if you were to sit there and do it, I mean, there's no problem leaving it loose. I mean, you know, you're able to still sit here and get all of your range of motion that you may run into. I mean, you can sit right here. I'm just standing upright, just right there looking down. So, I mean, you can leave it loose. I'm not the most, you know, experienced long distance shooter, but I mean, I'm even on the grip itself, with the grip being loose, I was like, you know, I actually have done it, but I wouldn't necessarily say that that's what I would recommend to, you know, to other guys, you know, is to do that. Like, you know, wasn't quite sure that would have been the thing to do, but it could be done.
Right. Mike, since you had jumped in there, you got any questions with the tripod there?
Yeah, I'm looking at it. I like the concept, but I'm just more curious about the combat or competition application. How fast can you get to it versus a bipod, you know?
Yeah. Well, I would say you're going to want to have it on your rifle when you're going into whatever it is you're going to do. So you can pull the legs up on it for sure. So they actually collapse upward like this. See what I'm saying?
Okay.
So, I mean, in fact, you can actually kind of set it up as a bipod too. So, you know, fold one of the legs up and out of the way, and now you kind of have it just rolling as a bipod too. So I see what you're saying though, Mike, but you know, what I'm trying to do is come up with something that is just, it's different than what everything else out there. And I mean, like I said, it might be cool if you go to that Snipers Unknown Challenge, because they're going to be trying it out here. And we'll get some really good feedback from some of those guys.
Yeah, because my whole thing is, like I said, when I think of things, like when I see a new product, the first thing I think of is combat application, because that's what I've done. And of course, if you can do it right in combat, you can pretty much do it in anything.
Right. Yeah, I see what you're saying.
Now, Buck asked out there, are the with the tripod, is that separate, or do you guys offer, or are you going to offer that in a package deal with a grip, or how is that going to be available?
Yeah, right now, do we have the combo kit together yet?
Not yet.
We'll have combo pricing. Right now, we've got really good introductory pricing on the tripod and the grip separate. We may knock off another couple of bucks, but right now you just buy them separate and it's a pretty darn good deal. We'll have a combo pretty soon, probably like next week, just been a matter of time.
Right. And but nothing,
we're doing both ways.
And nothing extra needed if you,
right.
Just buy them separate, right, and they'll go together.
Yeah. Okay. What I've done is I leave, this is the cap. This is one of the adapters. So this goes on the end cap of the grip. Mm-hmm. But the way I have it, I'm not threadlocking anything on there. If you tighten it on there and you snug it on good, it's pretty darn tight. I left it that way because some guys may want to go the grip tripod combo, and then they may want to use that tripod on a direct connect like the other rifle. And in that case, you can order the tripod with, say, the Picatinny base or the M-Lock, but still have the option to turn around and buy another base. Say you have a Picatinny, M-Lock, and a Keymod. You can buy all three.
Oh, okay.
All you're doing is unscrewing that piece, sticking it on there, and boom, the tripod goes to it.
Okay.
So you don't have to buy, if you want to buy a bunch of different tripods, we'd like that, but.
Right.
I know, but it's easier to buy one and try to interchange them with everything you got.
Right, but you're going to offer the bases separate, and then so you can have like a multi-rifle application is what you're saying. Just switch it over.
Yes, exactly. So now you've got a tripod you could put on everything, even the grip, the rifle with the grip.
Right. Gotcha. Yeah.
As far as the tripod goes, that's the tripod. I mean, on our grip, we if you're looking at our Instagram there, Chris, the STL Garcia, they are a special prison guard insertion team here in the States, and they pretty much travel all over the country and train all the teams with all of the new tactics with their dogs and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. They've tested our grip, and they're pretty much like, the grip on my KSG shotgun is, that's what we're using from now on.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
I can really see, I know you said that earlier about, how on the shotgun, and I can really see how on a, I've played around with several pump shotguns, and that vertical grip is very awkward to me on a pump shotgun. So having that angle to it would help tremendously. Ghost, I'll jump over to you. Let you jump in on this if you have anything.
Yeah, looks like you have a 308 there, and have you or anyone else any testing with a 50 cal to where you have the grip and the tripod together? And I was wondering about the stability. As you get to larger calibers, having the grip, which I love the idea of having the grip being able to stay attached to the rifle at all times, and then attach the tripod. But when you get to larger calibers, have you had anyone do a lot of testing with high calibers with the stability of that grip instead of just having a tripod mounted directly?
Well, or even heavier rifles wouldn't necessarily.
Or heavier rifles, yeah, either one, yeah.
Okay, so a lot of that broke up, but I think I kind of know where you're going with that. I don't know if you guys know Curtis. What's Curtis's last name? VSO Gun Channel.
Uh-huh.
Sure.
Okay, you might know Curtis.
Yeah.
Curtis Hallstrom, yeah. He ran it on a AR-15, and then he tested it with a 458 SOCOM, just the grip. And what he did, and we haven't released it, but what he did is he, instead of barricading and pushing into a 6x6 post, he allowed the grip to absorb every bit of recoil from a 458 round.
Oh, wow.
And it took 8 rounds, and then it snapped. But, he was just like, dude, that was really good. And I'm like, yeah, I get it, bro. You and I know that was good. But if I have a new product, and this was a while ago, I'm all, if if they're watching this for the very first time, seeing my grip, all they're going to see is that grip break.
Right.
And I said, that's what they're going to remember. They're not going to sit there and put together, yeah, but that was a 458 SOCOM. And they, you know, or was it 458 or 454? And he's just like, yeah, I get it. But he goes, I wanted to show how really strong this thing was. And I go, yeah, I get it. But we can wait a little while before we put that one out, you know?
Right. So, yeah.
Yeah, it held up well. And then on the Instagram, if you look, the Bearded, which is Bearded something on our videos from Instagram, he went and he used the FN, I think the 249 full auto, just goofing around like three gun and was going through some obstacles with the 308 version. And he's like, dude, that thing made me, it helped me to handle that freaking, you know, FN full auto, no problem. It was easy. And it handled the recoil with no problem.
Now I'm, where am I looking on the, okay, that's not yours. I was going to say, I was looking on the Instagram now and I was seeing something there and I'm like, wait, I didn't see that on the website. So, yeah, apparently it was a guy with like some belt bed stuff on there. I'm like, okay, what's going on there? But,
if he's in a building and he's running around and he's shooting full auto, that's him. That was the FN 308 that he was running full auto with the grip.
Like, right.
You're goofing around, but he said it worked well.
Right. Now, let's get into, we got still got a few minutes left, Steve. So if you want, we can talk about a few of the other smaller products. One of the things that I was curious about was the OST. I know you got two different versions of that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's a buddy of mine, Josh, who makes that product. And,
okay.
But I don't mind plugging his product. Josh has been a really good guy to us. He's a pretty cool dude. Just transplanted from California to Idaho. And he was a deputy sheriff over here in Riverside. And he pretty much was able to sell his house, which, you know, sell a house here, pay cash for his house over there. And he's not working anymore except for selling the OST products. And he's doing pretty good, you know. And have you ever seen it? So there's the this one here. One of the reasons we got in contact is because on the standard grip of ours, two of the 3-2-1 batteries will fit into the grip in the storage when you unscrew the end cap. So this is the exact same size, the two of those. So he had gotten a hold of me and said, hey, I want to show you this really cool product of mine. So he got this, sent us a couple of them. So it's got a little flint rod, start a fire, and then it's got a knife sharpener in there so you can actually sharpen the blade of your knife. And then it comes with this little tool that's like kind of an all-in-one little bolt carrier group cleaning tool, and it's got a scraper and all that. I mean, it's really well made. And so this, you know, that's one of his products.
Wow. Then, okay.
The other one, what's the other one? What's the difference between this and the new one, babe?
This is the everyday carry. It's got the fish gut instead of the bolt carrier.
Yeah.
Scraper.
And then another product he, you know, makes is just a bigger, more heavy duty, or probably easier to lever, you know, cleaner tool for your bolt carrier group and the AR-15. It's pretty good stuff. He's really got some cool stuff.
Yeah, I know. Looking around on the site, those were definitely interesting. Now you mentioned earlier the TX3, so I don't want to leave that out.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Obviously, that's an end plate. But what makes that different from the multitude of other end plates that are out there?
Okay, so end plate, right? Ambidextrous, QD. But what we did is I made, and being in California, the first thing everyone said in California was, oh, it's a bullet button tool. I'm like, no, it's not. So this little piece here, you turn it to about like 6:30, 7:30, pull it off. Okay, you have to be deliberate about it. But it's a little tool. It's magnetic. That's a little neodymium magnet. you pull it off the back of your rifle. If you have a hard to remove takedown pin, you just stick this on there, push it out.
Wow. Okay.
Get both of them removed. You just put it right back. It's just kind of always there. That was
like a pin, like a pin starter, basically.
Yeah, exactly. You
know, only the opposite direction.
Yeah, exactly. Just to make sure you can pull it out if you had to do any kind of work or any issue out in the field, it was right there.
Oh yeah, yeah. Because I know some of those pins can be, they can be bears. They can be really, 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 really tight. So,
yeah. Like less bear. Less bear, those are ours.
Yeah, some of your higher end, yes.
Getting that out, yeah.
Yeah, some of your higher end stuff, is pretty doggone tight. Ghost, you know, anything you want to jump in on the TX3 or anything else?
No, actually, I'm looking at the website right now, and it's I'm kind of digging the products and the grip itself. I'm going to go back to the grip a little bit, but the grip. I like the fact that you can put the grip directly to the tripod for those that are looking to do long distance and then directly transition into more of a tactical movement. You're not going to have to worry about having two separate attachments on your rail or anything like that. The transition is smooth. So I like the application that could be possibly used between the tripod, we're using it long distance or hunting or whatever, and then moving directly into more of a tactical movement with it, you know, and all that, with having the grip. So I think the innovation is pretty remarkable.
Thanks, man. One more thing I want to show you guys that we're working on this. This is a prototype of Kinetics. You know, they're good. They've got the M-Lock quick detach. And this here was sent to me by Nathan. And basically, wait, I got to make sure I get it in there right. But you just come up to your M-Lock. Of course, it's going to act up on me when I need to do it, but just like that, look, it's now mounted to the rifle.
Oh wow.
So we've got, this is our first prototype. He sent me a plastic one, and I mean, it's on there. Well, sorry I didn't get it on there right, but trust me, it does work.
Right. Let me get it on there again.
So,
well, the cool thing about the grip also is if you wanted to, like you are right there, you're mounting it separately from the tripod without having to do the whole lot. If you wanted to get the grip out of the way, then you just loosen it up, move the angle on it, and then you're good to go. So, I mean, it's the angle diversity of that grip is pretty awesome as well.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's we've gotten a lot of reviews, you know, YouTube. Never have we heard anything bad about the grip. I mean, literally, there's never been anyone say, oh, it doesn't work or anything like that. Once they try it, they go, whoa, hold on a minute. That thing is pretty darn solid. I can't believe it works as solid as it does.
Right.
About the only thing we hear right now, the worst thing is they think it's a bit expensive. But, you know, I mean, it's a tough market right now out there. I mean, you can buy an AR-15 for $350 built. You can buy them for $300. Disassemble. All you got to do is put them together. I mean, that's a kind of a hard place for anyone to come out with a new product, especially ours. Right. I mean, starting, we've got them at $99.95 now is our MSRP. And, you know, guys will sit there and complain and give you grief about it. But then you're like, okay, but, you know, you're okay spending how much on a nice charging handle? You know, you name it. There are parts that go on these rifles that cost hundreds of dollars. And I'm like, what a guy told me today, the guy I helped, I was telling you about earlier, Mike, that had locked his keys in his car. He goes, good ain't cheap, and cheap ain't good.
Cheap ain't good.
Like, you know what? It's so true. I'm like, that's what people have to understand. I go, look, I'm not trying to sell you a plastic vertical foregrip that you can't adjust or move in any position. I'm selling you a patented idea that no one's ever done before. It's solid as a rock. It's made here in the USA. And there's nothing cheap about it. I mean, it takes us a lot of time to get these things machined, anodized, assembled, packaged. I mean, there's a lot of work that goes into it. So I think once guys kind of start wrapping their whole head around the fact that the grip is solid as a rock and it works well, and it gives you the ability to barricade and so many other things, it'll become widely accepted. And I mean, my belief is that this is the grip of the future. Like everything else, because this can do anything all the other grips can do, but it does more. And so why wouldn't you have the most versatile piece of equipment on your gun, as opposed to, you know, I get it. There's some guys that'll say, I'll never, ever use a grip. I was at the gun show one time. I was with this old salty Marine. And I just trying to get him to try it out. I'm like, just give it a try. He goes, nope, you know, I won't do it. And I'm like, just try it out. He's just grumpy as hell, right? So I hand it to him, and he gets it out, but he starts adjusting it, and he's messing with it for about, you know, 30 seconds. And finally looks at me, and he has a big old smile on his face. He goes, you know what? He goes, I don't use vertical grips. He goes, but that thing is cool. And I'm like, that's all I'm asking is just give it the chance, because it is that good.
Right. Right. Mike, anything you want to follow up on here before we get out of here?
No, I think that's it. I'm one of those type people whereas, you know, I have to get something in my hand and play with it. And then, you know, get the true angle of which way you can go with it, because I do like what I hear, I do like what I see. I'm just one of those curious people whereas I have to play with it.
You know, Mike, it's so funny because this thing here, like some of the review guys, I went out to the Big Three. I don't know if you guys ever heard of that out there in Florida.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
We went out there in October. So I drove all the way across country, got out there and met with a couple of the guys. And one of the guys in gear, Brian came up and he tried it out and everything. And he kind of smiled. He goes, you know, Steve, he goes, I got to tell you, he goes, I was thinking it's cool. It's maybe a little gimmicky. He goes, I just don't think the thing can work that well. And he goes, but now that he actually sat there, he shot it with the KSG. He shot it with the 308 AR-10. And once he had it, they even had one on one of the bullpup full autos over there. And he goes, dude, that thing is solid as a rock. So what we pretty much have found is it's really the kind of thing you got to get it into more people's hands so that more guys like you, review guys, can all say, no, it is solid. It really does work. I've got guys, I went to the NRA show and was at Deadfoot Arms. And I don't know if you guys know the guy from Bohica Nation.
Mm-hmm.
He's a good buddy of theirs. And I handed him the grip and we put it on a rifle and all that. And he goes, you know what? He goes, I thought this was cool. He goes, but I still, even with the videos, I couldn't quite, you know, really conceive exactly how it works. I just thought it was kind of cool. He goes, now that I felt it, he goes, oh, yeah. He goes, I want one. He bought one. So, you know, it's one of those things where it's just taking the time to get guys to really try it out. And, you know, you know how it is. There's the internet trolls out there that the first thing they're going to do is talk smack about anything new. And then 3 years down the road, everybody's buying them and they did themselves. So, you know, it's just a matter of time and credibility.
Right. Yeah. And then certain people have certain preferences. And
yeah. I mean, my grip's not
for everybody. You can't discount. Yeah. You can't discount that either. So,
yeah. No, exactly. Absolutely. Exactly. Yeah.
Mike, while I've got you up, you want to go ahead and give any plugs or anything you need to do?
Yeah, if you don't mind. Once again, for those who like to listen to podcasts, you can find me weekly on the Black Man with the Gun podcast, where you find me giving a tips and review segment. Also, being a co-host, having a conversation with Ken Blanchard about topics around the 2A community. If you haven't done so, go download the app. The app is called Black Man with the Gun. If you want to give me a call, please do so at 803-250-1256. Leave a voicemail or a text message if you want me to get my opinion or views on topics related to the 2A community. If you're interested in having me do a product review or either just want to talk, once again, call that phone number, 803-250-1256, or email me at info@m-wtactical.com. And I promise I will get back to you. Don't forget, every Tuesday, we put out a product review video, and you can go check that video out on GunStreamer by looking up Munitions Weapons Tactical, or head on over to YouTube, GunTube, or OochTube, and look for M-W Tactical. Give me a thumbs up, give me a thumbs down, tell me what you like, tell me what you don't like, and then we can have an honest conversation about it. Don't forget, we're still raising money. For the campaign, we started to get 3 deputy sheriffs into some jiu-jitsu training at no cost to them or the department. Right now, we raised enough funds to get 1 officer into training. We're trying to get the rest of the funds to get the other 2 officers in. But we're also looking to purchase some necessary equipment to start a summer youth camp and get people out to vote as well. So please go visit GoFundMe.com/M-W Tactical and help us reach our goal. And then the last thing is, if you haven't done so, head on over to Facebook or Instagram, look for M-W Tactical, and like and subscribe. Follow my adventures.
Mike, thanks for helping out. Hey, appreciate you, sir.
Mike, thank you. Real quick, guys, I'm to 1% of my phone, so if it just okay. drops.
Well, tell you what, we'll go ahead and say bye to you, Steve, just in case. Does that work? Yeah. Let's remind everybody of the website here for Medieval Industries. It's midmid-evil.com. Correct.
I just Steve? Go mid-evil.com.
Medieval.com. Yes. midmid-evil.com. The Instagram is at medievalindustries.com. Where I think is where I got mixed up on that. So check them out on both of those places. Steve, thanks for jumping in and talking about the products. We do appreciate it.
Trey, Mike, good meeting you guys.
Hey, same here.
Nice meeting you too, Steve. Good talking to you, man. Like your products.
Hang on until it drops, but I'm just hanging out.
Right. Yeah. Just go ahead and get you in under the wire just in case. Ghost, what do you got to plug, bud?
Not a whole lot. Just want to make sure that everyone gets out to the range, become more proficient with your firearms this weekend. Grab someone with you. You might change their mind about guns, especially if they're a beginner. And while you're out there, turn the cameras on, become part of the community, become part of the solution. And if you really want to get bored and really get dumbed down, then go check out the channel, go check out my reviews, go check out the videos. And I want to say thank you to everyone who's been watching the Tactical Tuesday podcast and downloading the Armed Citizen podcast on Spotify, iTunes, iHeartRadio, Podbean, all of those. Thank you so much for that. And we're looking forward to putting out some more stuff. So thanks for having me.
You bet. Thanks for helping out. And with that, we are done for the week. So hopefully everybody can enjoy the rest of their Friday. It is the weekend. So get out there, spend time with family, friends, hug those kiddos, tell them you love them. Get out to the range if you can, do a little shooting. Have a little fun, and above all, be safe. We'll catch you next week. Bye.